This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Daylight time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday. It's me, one half of your sports bros, Rob.
Sada.
Big Sook is out on vacation.
They are going to rock your ass for 2 hours.
We are going to rock your ass for two more hours.
Yeah.
Two more. Yeah, we've already rocked it for two. Buckley's over there.
Hello?
You get any vacation in?
A little bit. We are leaving the day after Christmas to go down to the Bay Area for a long weekend, because okay. Christmas is like a Wednesday, so we're going to go like Thursday to Sunday down there. And then, much like our web dude Jake out there, I also have tickets to the Rose Bowl, so I'm going to be gone on the first and second.
Yeah, a lot of people going down to the Rose Bowl.
I'm fired up.
Could be Ohio State.
Could be Tennessee. If it's a third team, I'll be really stunned.
Rose Bowl's amazing.
We were talking about it a little bit earlier. I do think, I mean, I obviously haven't been to all of them. For my money, it's the best sporting event out there that I've been to.
Yeah. You got to get to the Masters.
Yes, I do. But
because
I've been
it
to
does not disappoint.
Even like, I mean, I've been to Major League Baseball playoff games and NBA Finals games and ice hockey playoff games. Something about that setting, that time of year, that weather, the pomp and circumstance, the build-up, like the flyover, it is perfect. It's a perfect football game.
Tell you what, I would have said you're crazy before I went.
Yeah. And I didn't, you see it on TV and it still looks cool. It's the granddaddy of them all, blah, blah, blah. But you get there and there's an aura that's just undeniable.
It is special. It really is. And I can't really put my finger on it. You mentioned like the weather and like the sunset over the mountains.
Well, they make sure kickoff is at 2 o'clock for every game, so that when the fourth quarter is starting, the sun is setting over the San Gabriel Mountains, yeah. And it's perfect.
Yeah, it's. If you haven't gone, you should go.
And the fact that it's taking place on New Year's Day, and usually you got 40,000 people from the Midwest coming over for perfect weather in the middle of winter for a football game. Like, it's kind of a unicorn. It's crazy.
Well, it's kind of one of those. I mean, I think Vegas is going to have a little bit of this now as it hosts big games like this.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rose Bowl is like the one place where if your team played there, you're going.
You got to go. Yeah.
Because of the weather that time of year. right? Mm-hmm. And so the fan...
Because it's an escape for almost every fan base.
I think what makes it is that it's not just a corporate Super Bowl rich people type of thing. It's the true fans of those teams. Mm-hmm. And it's not always 50-50, but it can be pretty close to 50-50.
But it's a couple things. It's a payoff for a great season for your team. And it's great weather in the middle of winter.
It's a great trip.
So it's like the people that are there are happy.
And it's
so
a holiday.
Happy. Yeah, all of it.
But Vegas, I think Vegas is going to get a little bit. It's just hard because the stadium's not as cool.
And so that's the thing, is like the setting and everything around it won't have the same. Like there's something that feels a little bit more like, I guess, grassroots or old school about the Rose Bowl that Vegas is never going to have.
Right.
But I feel you.
By the way, quick Bear Alexander follow up. You were talking about.
Yeah, I don't think he committed, but he must have visited.
Yeah, he's a defensive lineman who is transferring out of USC.
Mm-hmm.
And you were pointing out that his social media had him flexing in a Penn State uniform. With a Georgia tattoo.
But his profile picture still being him in his USC uniform.
He did not commit to Penn State. He did take a visit. And according to internet, he is down to 3 schools: Penn State, SMU, and Oregon.
I would imagine, and it makes me very happy, that most of the best players in the portal are going to have Oregon in the top of their list, and I love that.
Yeah. Well, Oregon, I feel like, can just pick whoever they want.
Well, in Oregon, they're going to have some holes, too.
I'm cooking on your grill.
It's not just that, like, hey, they're good. They're going to need good players to help keep them good, and that's desirable for good players.
Well, and not to start a whole thing here, but we can discuss here over the next couple days. Is SMU the new Oregon? Because dude, they're throwing so much money at players.
Like,
they're good.
In the sense that little old SMU shouldn't be.
There's like new
contending
blue
with. Yeah. Yeah.
And Oregon's
new people
one
joining
of them.
The big boys.
And I think SMU is.
Yeah.
Or could be.
Could be.
Could be.
They at least have the money. They got the resources.
Did you see when they were playing Clemson? Did you watch any of that game?
I watched some of that game. I mostly tuned in for the end.
Well, all those big boy donors they have down there,
yeah,
were piled into a suite,
uh-huh,
and they would show them from time to time. But let me tell you something. That is a dandy crew right there.
Yeah. A lot of
those are good old boys.
A lot of barrel-chested white men.
That's right. A lot of Wranglers and flannels.
Oh, flannels.
Yeah, a lot of flannels.
I was thinking it was going to be more of the...
well, they were in Charlotte.
The Texas business casual where it's like designer jeans, a blue Oxford shirt, and a blazer or something like that.
No, it looked more Western than you would think.
Okay.
Like, because you're right. I think when you think of the SMU, like, a lot of them are billionaires, they say.
Yeah, so they're going to be older. They're going to be even more...
They were a little bit more middle-aged cowboy types.
Okay. Cool.
But, I mean, obviously that's not all of them, but I don't know. SMU. The new Oregon. Anyway, we've got a lot to get to. We're going to discuss the Heisman Trophy ceremony and Travis Hunter, should he have won it over Ashton Gentry. We'll do that this hour. I think we're going to try to figure out what the top new drop for 2024 is in the club tonight.
Sweet.
And got some other questions. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
Yeah, Tech says the Rose Bowl is the Masters of college football. And that's right.
Very apt.
Because you think of the pageantry, you know, and the history, and then they're trying to...
And there are lots of other fun big tournaments, but there's only one Masters, only one that's like that.
And they do it differently, yeah. 4-year extension for Marcus Freeman, the head coach at Notre Dame. He is now amongst the highest paid coaches in all of college football. He has his team in the college football playoff. They'll play Indiana on Friday. He is only 38 years old. Did you know that?
With 6 kids.
Yeah, he has 6 kids. He has a beautiful family, the Freemans. And he has been busy. 38. I mean, that's Lanning young, isn't it? Is
yes.
It Lanning 38?
That's correct.
Or
either 38 or 39. Yeah.
So I want to say he's 37.
I thought.
Yeah, 38. Okay, how about that? I wouldn't have guessed they're the same age. Would you?
Who would you have thought was older?
Freeman.
I would have, I mean, Freeman's old. Been doing it just a hair longer, right? Has he been 1 year longer than Lanning?
Good little coach.
But they seem about the same to me.
Number four.
Yeah, his record is 30-9.
Pretty good.
At Notre Dame. Former USC quarterback Miller Moss has chosen where he will be transferring to. He is headed to Louisville to replace Tyler Shuck, who is headed to the NFL. Tyler Shuck, of course, the former Duck quarterback. Penn State QB Drew Aller says he is back for another season. This has prompted their backup, Bo Prabula, to say he's leaving. He's hitting the portal. Also in the portal, and this was to be expected, but Washington State quarterback John Mateer is likely to end up at Oklahoma because that's where his OC went.
Interesting. Oh, that's right. I forgot that they took the OC. That makes sense.
Yeah, and he has a do not contact on his portal entry, which means I'm not really open for business. So he's likely following the OC to Oklahoma.
Which could mean pretty good things for Oklahoma because he's pretty good and they've got some resources.
Yeah, that's a good get if they get him. Of course, could be Oregon. Could be SMU. By the way, these Vikings uniforms, horrible.
You don't like them?
No.
Why not?
Because they're stupid.
I mean,
they're going all white, and they don't even have, I mean, it's all white even on the helmet. There's just the outline.
Yeah,
of the
they're look. Like, it's like they have a name for it. It's like their White Walker or the iced out look or whatever. For an alternate uniform, I think this one's pretty good. I don't. Sometimes people get too crazy with other colors. I like that they just kind of stripped it down and kept it simple. I think it's solid. It's not as good as their regulars, but it's fine.
Well, the Mariners may have missed out again. Oh, God. Is that a... Caleb, God, the Bears are a disaster.
I think you're either... Was that 3rd and 9? Because I think I might be behind. Oh, God. Yeah,
it was a fumble.
Yeah, I see it now.
Almost returned for a touchdown. Anyway, Mariners may have missed out yet again. It appears Cody Bellinger is about to be traded from the Cubs to the Yankees. Uh-huh. That deal is not done yet, though. They are still fighting over money. The M's, though, say they are taking calls on ace Luis Castillo. They are open to trading him for offense, number two. Which they should be.
They really should be is open to trading any of their starters for offense and see what the best return you can get is. Because, I mean...
I don't know about that. I'd hold on to the younger guys.
Okay, maybe not any, but what you that's the best part of your team. I think you could afford to lose one of those guys for the right goods coming back the other direction.
Maybe.
I would see who you can get the most for and then reevaluate.
Well, if a team calls and says it's Logan Gilbert or nothing and we'll give you the guy you want, then maybe.
Right.
But
I think it just depends what the return is.
If I have to pick one of those guys to get traded, it's probably Castillo.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
The Ducks land two of the top DBs in the portal, Purdue's Dylan Thineman and Northwestern's Theron Johnson. They both committed to Oregon over the weekend. Thineman is supposedly a first-round pick in the NFL.
I didn't realize that many. It's a little bit surprising. I just don't think safeties usually get that first-round treatment, but it's all coming up duckies.
Also, Oregon is keeping running back coach Rashad Samples. He is staying in Eugene despite being a finalist for the head coaching job at Sam Houston.
Yeah, that's a nice what's the phrase I'm looking for? Like non-news, good news for the Ducks. The fact that he was developing a really good reputation as a recruiter, and has obviously done a nice job with their backs. That's a nice retention for them.
But he'll be out of there soon.
Eventually, but I mean, if you get one more year out of him, that's great.
And it's mild. They're calling it a mild high ankle sprain.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know. I thought that was weird. But they're trying to tell us that it's not that bad, but it is a high ankle sprain for Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
It's kind of like a mild concussion. Well, it's still a head injury.
Yeah, so they're listening week to week. Kansas City plays Houston on Saturday, and that is followed by a trip to Pittsburgh on Wednesday, which is Christmas. So that's just, 4 days later?
Yep.
So I would not be shocked if Mahomes sits her down for these next two games. But that's just me.
Or maybe even just one game.
One of the two?
The first one and then play the second?
They don't need either of them, do they? Are they trying to get the bye?
Yeah.
The Bills are on their heels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's dicey. I wouldn't push him. Raiders pass rusher Max Crosby done for the season. Vegas hosting Atlanta tonight on Monday Night Football. That's about to get underway. And we also have Vikings-Bears, and it is 3-0 Minnesota, although Caleb Williams just got punished and fumbled, recovered by Minnesota all the way down into Chicago territory, so the Vikings threatening again. They are in Minnesota. So two Monday Night Football games tonight. The Hot 5 brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victoricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victorico's. Let's talk Heisman next on The Fan. Yeah, so Costa lays it out. So with the Mahomes injury, Chiefs still have to win 2 of 3 if the Bills win out. Right? So if the Bills win out, the Chiefs need to win 2 of 3 to keep the bye.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Bills lose, then they would only need to win one more. The Chiefs, though, play Houston, and then they're at Pittsburgh and at Denver. Not easy.
That's why I'm kind of thinking you could not punt on the Texans game, but just hold Mahomes out of that one, see if he can be good by the Pittsburgh one, and if he's good for that one, you figure he's good by the Denver one, too. Maybe you can win those last two.
See, I think you're right. I was going to say, I feel like this weekend, if he can go, get him out there, and then sit his ass for Christmas. But that's kind of dumb. Because
ideally you want the most.
To heal.
But, like you said, if he can go, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, neither of us do. Otherwise, we'd be in player management.
Now, I'm looking up who the Bills have real quick. We're going to get to Heisman talk here. But the Bills, they play New England. Oh, God. New England twice in the Jets.
Oh! So we should probably assume 3-0 there.
Yeah, they're going to be 14-3. Wow, they might get the bye. Anyway, we'll get to more NFL coming up next. But the Heisman ceremony was this weekend. I stated at the beginning of the show, I think the Heisman Trophy is kind of a joke. They've watered it down by giving it basically, typically, to the best quarterback on the best team. But it doesn't really mean much, but I do love the Heisman ceremony every year. I think it's cool. I think it's great, and I love watching the speech. I thought Travis Hunter was fun. Seems like a great kid, always smiling, goofing off, laughing. Very entertaining. I don't know why Prime needs to wear his sunglasses inside, but he did.
Well, because he's got to sell them.
Have you ever done that? Worn sunglasses inside? Like, let's just say you just... You know, you haven't taken them off yet.
Yeah, like I thought it might be like a fun, cool thing to do on New Year's when I was like 24. It's impossible to see.
I know, you can't see anything.
You can't see a thing. So any jackass who's walking around the club with dark glasses on, you're just that. You're a jackass.
Yeah, how do you see?
You don't.
Anyway, Prime was in prime form with his glowing white teeth. Steve Spurrier was there. Before we get into the Travis Hunter, Ashton Gentry thing, I thought to myself, because I had forgotten that Steve Spurrier won the Heisman.
Yeah.
Because I just think of him, my age, I just think of him as a hell of a coach, the old ball coach. But does he get enough love? He's the only guy, because I went and looked this up, he's the only guy to have won a Heisman and then become a Hall of Fame coach. No one's ever done that except for him.
I wonder how many other, take the Hall of Fame part out, how many other Heisman winners have just gone on to be a head coach in college football?
The ones that I saw, at least that were up there.
Can't be many.
There were none.
Yeah.
So pretty amazing, Steve Spurrier, what he did. I just always forget that he was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
I'm reminded every year when they go through like the portraits up there or the dude standing in the back. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I forget for the next 11 months.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why it's fun to watch every year.
Mm-hmm.
But they go 45. Well, really, they give you 50 minutes of fluff, and then they actually get to the substance of the program.
And if I'm not mistaken, there have been times in the past where they have tried to sandwich that ceremony between two live events or whatever, and they accidentally start letting it run too long, and then suddenly they are either cutting off the winner's speech or they're bleeding into the next event. At least they didn't do that this year.
Oh, my God. Well, outside of DeVonta Smith, Travis Hunter is the only non-quarterback Heisman winner since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. He was the number one recruit, they kept pointing out, in 2022. He went to Jackson State. That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that he came with Deion from Jackson State, but I had forgotten that when he went there, he was the number one guy.
Yeah, he was, and that's kind of why maybe some people look at him and go, it's not that he's not elite, but you may be like, well, how good could he be if he came from Jackson State? Well, the only reason he went to Jackson State is because of Prime. He was the number one recruit. So he's been on everyone's radar.
Yeah.
But I think it's a testament to Prime that he got him to Jackson State and he kept him through Colorado. It's actually a pretty cool story. I don't know why Lil Wayne is in his entourage, but he is.
Yeah, and then I think he gave his girlfriend or fiance credit for turning him on to Lil Wayne. He wouldn't have known Wayne if it weren't for her.
Yeah, that led me to believe that the girlfriend is the one who knew Lil Wayne. I don't know. Anyway, Lil Wayne was there. But it was a close vote. Hunter gets 2,231 points. Genty, 2,017 points. That was the closest since 2009.
And that surprised people. People did not think the margin was going to be that narrow.
Well,
You among them.
I was looking at the odds going, boy, Genty could win this.
Right.
I didn't bet it because Hunter was a huge favorite. Mm-hmm. But then Genty, you could get him in the last handful of days, you could get him at plus 950 to plus 1,000. Not quite long enough shot.
And the higher that long shot got, the more I thought he's not going to win it. Like,
well, I didn't think he was going to win it, but I thought that, again, long shot bets. I mean,
the fact that it's as close as it was for him to be a plus 950, that was mispriced. Like, that was...
You thought it should have been longer?
No. I think if people knew the voting was going to be that close, the betting odds would have been much more narrow between the two of those guys.
Yeah. Well,
people thought it was going to be Hunter in a runaway, and it was not.
Well, I saw a scenario where it could have been Genty just because of what he... Well, one, he's just... he almost broke Barry Sanders' rushing
record. He would have won it if he did.
What he meant to Boise State and them being in the playoff, I thought, you know... There could be, because there's always the case against Hunter was always that, well, he plays both sides, but, you know, that's kind of a novelty. Colorado didn't even make the Big 12 title game. They're
well,
not
additionally,
in the tournament.
He's neither the best. I mean, I guess he did win the Biletnikoff, but he wasn't the best defensive. I mean, he played the most. That didn't mean he played the best. And Genty might have played the best.
Well, I think there's a lot of people who would think the way you do, which is why I thought maybe Genty would win.
Mm-hmm.
You could make the case that Genty was the more important player, but a la Shohei Ohtani, when you play both sides that well, that's just too special, and that's why he was the overwhelming favorite, and ultimately he did win. He played 709 offensive snaps. He played 713 defensive snaps. He played 21 special team snaps. He averaged 120 snaps a game, which is 400 more than any Heisman in the last decade. Bryce Young and Caleb Williams, for comparison, both played, had 71.2 snaps per game. Hunter, 120. Mariota, when he won, 69.7 snaps per game. So Mariota, he did take 1,000 snaps that season, but he did it in 15 games. Hunter took 1,000 snaps this season and did it in 9 games. So that is why Travis Hunter won that, and he was really damn good. So we'll get into that debate when we get back, and then we'll get back into the NFL weekend that was. So we'll take a break and come back with a little bit more on Heisman. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So if I had a Heisman vote, I would have struggled with it. I think I might have voted Genty. I really, especially before the ceremony, I think I might have voted Genty. But now after having read up a little bit and seen some of the numbers on Hunter, I can maybe swayed back. But I was one that I I'm probably skewed because I watched Genty against the Ducks.
Sure.
And how good he looked, and talking to Lanning about him. And Lanning warned us about him. They were like, dude, watch this running back that we're about to play. He's a beast. And they couldn't, I mean, they could not. They're the best team in the country.
Yep.
At the time, we didn't know that. Oregon's the best team in the country, and they could not slow him down. So I have just so much respect for him, watching him play.
I will also wonder what they would have done against him and say, you know, week 8 or something like that.
Genty?
I mean, I think he still gets his, but I think we can clearly deduct from the first couple Oregon games that they didn't have it all firing on all cylinders yet, and they eventually got there. But that Idaho game, that Boise game, there were a lot of things that looked wrong on both sides of the ball, both
true.
Those games.
But Genty did that to everybody.
Agreed.
Like, he's impossible to tackle.
I'm not saying he wouldn't have, but when Oregon is playing at their best, I would like to see what that looks like.
Well, I think a lot of the people who don't think Hunter should have won said, well, it's just not about snap count. Yes, he plays a lot of snaps, but he's got to be quality too. Well, he is. And looking at some of the numbers, I mean, the guy had 1,200 yards receiving,
mm-hmm.
15 touchdowns receiving. He had 32 tackles and 4 picks. The best way to put it is the only player to best cover Travis Hunter is Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
His only comp is Charles Woodson. And if you look at Charles Woodson, he took 10 offensive snaps per game. Hunter took 59. Pro Football Focus graded Hunter as the number one cornerback in college football. Well, no, the number one cornerback in Power Four. And he was graded out as the fourth best wide receiver. That's what put it over the top for me. I was like, oh, okay. Because I was kind of one of those, like, maybe skewing towards Gentry. And then I read that. He's top five at both in college football, or at least Power Four. Pro Football Focus.
That's a unicorn.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
And that's why you give it to him.
That's why he was awarded. But I don't know if he win. Does Gentry win if he's a product of the Coach Prime hype machine? Because he sure as hell might.
Well, he'd also be in a real, I don't want to say a real conference, but he'd be in a more competitive conference, too.
Do you believe?
I mean, if Gentry does this in the Big 12 or the ACC, he wins. But because he's in the Mountain West, he doesn't.
I don't know about that.
Scatabu
did it in the Big 12, and he wasn't even there.
Right, but Scatabu didn't put up Gentry numbers. If Gentry puts up Gentry numbers in Scatabu's conference, he wins the thing, I think.
Do you think Boise's in the playoff if they have Hunter and not Gentry?
No.
Gentry?
Mm-mm.
I don't either.
Do you think Colorado's in the playoff if they have Gentry and not Hunter?
No.
I don't either.
Interesting. Did you see that there were 25 voters who did not vote?
That's crap. That's bull crap.
What is that about?
I don't. Did they? They should say who.
Yeah, they should. Or maybe they're deads. Do you think they're deads?
Well, but they wouldn't say dead people didn't vote. They would just, those votes wouldn't exist because the people are dead.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, you're not going to say that ballots didn't get cast because you're not sending a ballot to a dead guy.
I think they might be.
I don't think so.
Are they sending ballots to dead people?
Well, and so the question is, was it former winners or media members who didn't vote? If it's media, yeah. you should get that polled. You don't vote again.
Well, it might be dead former members or former winners.
But again, you wouldn't be expecting them to vote.
Yeah, I guess
so. It wouldn't be a lost vote.
I don't know. Why do you not vote? If you have a Heisman vote, freaking cast it.
Ricky Williams famously said that he just had his mom vote for him for a bunch of years when he was out smoking weed in Australia.
Did he?
Yeah.
So most of it's media, right? There's a bunch of it's media, and then each.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know what the numbers are specifically, but yeah, it's every former winner and a combination.
Like hundreds
of media.
Hundreds of media, and then 59 living former members.
Yeah, I wonder what percentage of former members it's made up of.
I don't know. Well, anyway, it was a cool speech. Watching Travis Hunter and his mom. He's a nice kid. I could root for Travis Hunter. He seems like pretty easygoing. Likes to have fun.
The internet's kind of coming after his girlfriend. I don't know if you've seen any of that.
Why?
Well, there's video of her that surfaced from an event where she's like complaining about him taking too long, taking photos of with other people. And he's like, okay, just go back to the hotel then or whatever. And she looks like annoyed to be there and be a part of it. And people are like, this woman needs PR training if she's going to be with him and all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't seem all that happy.
He went on his live stream today and basically said, y'all need to stop talking crap about my girl. She basically drank herself to sleep last night because she's so upset with the internet talking crap about her. It was a whole thing.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to hear that. I mean, people are young, man.
Yeah. People are pointing out that at all of these different events they've been to, she's the last to stand up and the first to sit down in the room. Like she.
All right.
It's become a little bit of a thing.
Huh. Where did he meet her?
I don't know. They've been together for 5 years, though. Not
so
sure.
So high school, right?
Probably.
I mean, not that old.
Or online. I mean, maybe not at high school. I mean, I'm sure they were in high school, yes.
Fascinating. All right, let's wrap up the weekend that was in the NFL. Coming up next on The Fan. All right. Vikings up 10-0 on the Bears, but should be 17-0. Justin Jefferson. He drops a ball on the goal line that was dropped right into his breadbasket, and he was wide open, and he did not catch the ball.
Yep.
That drives me insane. As cocky as freaking number one wide receivers like him and CeeDee Lamb and these guys are.
Well, Deebo Samuel did it on Thursday.
Dude, catch the
ball.
Ran
his mouth during the week, had a slant thrown to him like at the 15 that was guaranteed six and just drops it.
Are you, college mostly, but sometimes in the pros, are you shocked at how often receivers can't catch?
Yes. Especially, I don't know the last time that you felt like what one of those receiver gloves feels like. Oh my God, it's flypaper. It's like,
stick 'em.
It is, It's so ridiculously advantageous to have those gloves. It's no wonder everyone and their mother can make a one-handed grab these days. Like, the ball just sticks to them. So when guys don't catch it, I'm blown away.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Great receivers just put it right on their chest and they drop it. I find that inexcusable.
I would too. It's their job.
I wonder if receivers are just doing more. Like, the last thing they think about is actually catching.
Yeah, they're thinking about, you know, hitting the gritty in the end zone and stuff like that.
Yeah, and their routes and the, you know, their speed drills and their, you know.
You think they don't work on catching the ball?
Well, you see them on the jugs machine, right?
Maybe Justin Jefferson hasn't been on the jugs machine.
The good ones do. Like, who's the top receiver? Can you pull up the drops numbers in the NFL this year?
Oh, most drops? Yeah, I can pull it up.
Hold on. I want the fewest.
Oh, fewest drops.
Yeah, those are my guys. Those are the guys I want. Anyway, we'll get to that. I wanted to tell you, you were talking about Oregon basketball. Here's good news for Oregon basketball. 34 of the last 35 NCAA tournament champions have been in the top 12 of the Week 6 AP Top 25 rankings. Oregon, number 12. 34 of the last 35 NCAA tournament champions were in the top 12 in Week 6. And that includes Oregon. But what I was going to tell you that I didn't want to say during the Mods PDX Ducks report is that Oregon State looks pretty good this year.
Yeah, and I had to retort that I can't say that I have seen a single solitary second of Beavers basketball.
Well, I haven't seen much of them, but I've read about them, and I saw them against UC Irvine. They played UC Irvine over the week. UC Irvine's supposed to be a decent team. Wayne Tinkle has like 9 lives, but apparently he's gone out and gotten a bunch of international transfers. And they're not a bad team. They might sniff in the top 25. And that's why continuity is important. You keep guys like Wayne Tinkle. Hopefully they adapt, evolve, grow, change. You know, he doesn't break the bank. He's a great fit for Oregon State. He's doing a pretty good job this year because they were atrocious last year.
But
he went out and got some guys.
In a weird way, what he's done recently with where the program is and what they've not been included in with conference realignment and all that, like, he's kind of the perfect fit for where they are right now.
Yes.
If he or they were any better, they probably would have lost him. But you know that he can be successful there with that group, with, you know, fewer resources or whatever. So the fact they still have him, great.
Well, and they're going to have down years. Don't panic. Let him rethink things. And they said he did. I was reading that article by Nick Daschle. Said he went on vacation in Idaho, and he was going, what the hell am I going to do? He's like, well, we need to pivot. And they went international, brought in some transfers, and they're pretty good, playing some pretty good D. Anyway, Jefferson drops the ball, and then two plays later, and it was a sure touchdown, two plays later, Darnold throws a pick. So it's still only 10-0 Vikings. But I tell you what, you want to see a defense that appears to be mailing it in, I give you tonight's Chicago Bears. Because the Vikings should be up 24-0.
And yet, that Bears defense just forced a takeaway.
Yeah, but it was fourth down, he kind of threw it up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I've got your drops over here.
Okay, who has the fewest drops?
The fewest?
And there's probably a minimum catch requirement, right?
Well, this is the NFL official.
I mean, if they're on the list.
Yeah, there's
a minimum catch requirement.
Not necessarily. There are some on the list that, basically, if you've been targeted for a pass at any time this year.
Oh, we don't want that.
No, but there's.
Who has the most targets and the fewest drops?
So, let's see. There's running back Amir Abdullah has 30 targets, no drops.
Okay. Hey, punt block. No. Almost got it.
It's trying to load more, and
they
now
got a flag.
It's not doing it. So.
Okay, that's not very helpful.
No, it isn't. No, it's not.
Well, Mahomes is hurt. The Lions lost 3 more bros on their defense. They now have 16 players off of that defense that are hurt. So the defensive tackle, McNeil, tore his ACL. He's done for the year. Another cornerback, whose name I can't remember, ripped up his ankle. He's done for the year. And then Carlton Davis broke his jaw last night against Buffalo. He's out 6 weeks. 16 dudes off their defense are out.
All right, I have better numbers for you. The best receiver in the NFL with 56 catchable passes and 0 drops.
Who's that?
A.J. Brown.
Okay. Nice. That's my guy right there.
Others who are still in that range, Detroit Lions, Tim Patrick has 31 catchable passes, no drops.
Mm-hmm. Where's Amon-Ra? I feel like he's really sure-handed.
I would have to do a specific search for him because I'm not seeing him pop up. The worst by far was Amari Cooper. He's got 11 drops on 80 targets.
God. See, I wouldn't have thought
that either
with him.
Let's see. I'll find Amon-Ra for you.
Well, anyway, so the reason I bring up the Lions, is it the Eagles and everyone else in the NFC now?
Amon-Ra St. Brown, 3 drops on 98 catchable passes.
Dude, come on. Now that's my guy.
Yeah.
There's my guy.
Pretty good.
That's real good. So if you look in the AFC, it feels like there are landmines all over the place for the Bills and the Chiefs. Whether that be Baltimore, mm-hmm. Denver, Pittsburgh, even the Chargers. But if you look in the NFC, I mean, are there landmines outside of the Eagles and Lions for the top two teams? You know, do you trust Tampa? Do you trust Seattle or LA, whoever wins the NFC West?
I don't think you trust any of them. The question is, I don't even know who gets there at this point.
Well, Green Bay could be dangerous maybe in the NFC.
I think they're live. I like them. Like, of the teams that are kind of in the wild card mix right now, I probably like them the best. I really like LaFleur. I like what they've got going with Jacobs and Love and those receivers, even though you don't necessarily have, like, a standout star there. But, like, remember last week we were doing stock watch and we were like, yep, the Seahawks are a playoff team. And now I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that was a rough loss.
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, I think that, okay, I'll give you the Bills and Chiefs, or I'll give you the Lions and Eagles to win the Super Bowl. Which pair are you taking?
Say that one more time for me.
Well, I'm giving you the Bills and Chiefs
mm-hmm.
from the AFC, or I'm giving you the Eagles and Lions from the NFC to win the Super Bowl.
Because
Mahomes is hurt, and the Chiefs' offense hasn't been great. But the Lions are shockingly banged up on defense, and they lost David Montgomery, too.
I'll take the Chiefs and Bills.
I think I will, too.
And that just comes from a place of, like, somehow Kansas City always figures it out. I mean, if Mahomes really is seriously banged up, then that'll obviously change things. But he's enough of a magician. He can keep them in any game long enough for them to win it, it feels like. The Bills might be the most dangerous, explosive, talented right now. I might have said the Lions before that. But now, because of all the injuries, especially on defense, and for as good as Philly is, I just don't trust those guys.
You don't?
I don't. I especially don't trust Sirianni.
Well, he's been to a Super Bowl before.
I know he has. I feel like they succeed in spite of him. I don't know. But I would feel more comfortable holding a ticket for the top two dogs in the AFC than the NFC.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. Now that the Lions are so banged up. That's just rough.
I mean, they can still go outscore just about anybody, but they better stay healthy on offense.
Well, the best team of all four might be the Bills.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they've got questions defensively too.
Yeah, they sure do.
Less about they have had some of their own injuries on defense, but their defense was just never great to begin with. They're pretty good.
Well, the Lions went up and down the field on them.
Yeah.
What if I will give you the quarterbacks who have either won an MVP or a Super Bowl, or the field. So to win the Super Bowl, so I'm giving you the Chiefs and Mahomes. I'm giving you Baltimore and Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you Stafford and the Rams. I'm giving you Russ and the Steelers, and I'm giving you possibly Allen with Buffalo because he's probably going to be the MVP. Or you can take the field, which would include Philly, Detroit, Green Bay, Chargers.
I think it entirely hinges on which one of those groups gets Josh Allen and the Bills. If you put the Bills, if you put Allen in the have-nots yet, like the not won a championship, not won an MVP.
Well, in that case, I'll give you the Bills or the field.
The Bills or the field?
Yeah. Well, that's what you're saying.
No. I'm saying that when you add the Bills to either one of those groups, it makes that group the one. Like it would tip. It would tip in their favor.
I mean, the question really is, if I rephrase it, is do you trust any other quarterback to win a Super Bowl outside of those studs?
The answer is no, unless it's Josh Allen.
Well, I'm putting him in there. So Mahomes, Jackson,
so
Allen.
No. I don't trust anybody
Stafford.
Else. Let's assume, because he's a heavy favorite, that Allen does win the MVP, and we'll call him this year's MVP winner. No, I would not take any of the teams who either have a quarterback that hasn't won a Super Bowl or has not won an MVP.
So Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts,
yep.
Jordan Love,
yep.
Bo Nix.
I mean, I don't. It's not that
Justin
I don't.
Justin Herbert.
It's not that I don't think, like, the Packers or the Chargers could make a run here. But if you're giving me the non-winners versus the guys who've already won it, I'll take the guys who've already won it.
Well, I'm just giving you the elite quarterbacks, yeah. really. Yeah. And I'll throw Russell Wilson in there. He's got a Super Bowl.
Yep.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I like the experienced group.
I like the AFC guys, man. I think it's Lamar, Baltimore, or Buffalo and Allen. Because it's just attrition. You know, all of a sudden now Mahomes is banged up. The Lions, you know, can't stay healthy on defense. It sucks, but it is what it is. All right, I think tonight in the club we got to run through the top new drops of 2024.
A lot to choose from.
Got a little TV talk. And some other cool stuff next on The Fan.